Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Let us pray. So, Lord, in this time, I'm asking that you would open our eyes to our own hearts and to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a story told of a prisoner who spent 20 years in a cell. Every day he would wake up and stare at the stone walls, feel the cold steel. He then cursed the guard who had locked him in there and abused him. He knew the guard's name. He could picture his face. And every single day for 20 years, he rehearsed what he would say to that guard if he ever got free. Well, one morning, a new warden came to inspect the prison. He walked by this man's cell and then stopped and looked at him with confusion. "Why are you still there?" the warden said. The prisoner exploded. "Well, because I'm locked in, because of what that guard did to me, because..." The warden held up his hand. Says, "No," said, "I mean, why are you still there? The door hasn't been locked in 15 years. The prisoner looked at the warden like he was insane. "What are you talking about? Well, the guard you're so angry at, he left 5 years into your sentence. He moved across the country. He got married, had kids, got a whole new life. He hasn't thought about you in 15 years. But you thought about him every single day. And all this time, you could have just pushed the door open." Prisoner stood up. He walked to the cell door, and with a trembling hand, he pushed. And it swung open. He'd been free for 15 years, and he didn't know it. There are some sermons that I feel I must preach every year. On Good Friday, you're always going to hear me preach on the crucifixion. Easter Sunday, I'm always going to preach on the resurrection. During the year, I will probably preach a sermon on generosity. But every year, I feel like I need to preach a sermon on forgiveness. We live in a world where most assuredly we are going to be hurt by people. People do things that offend us and hurt us. People say things that wound us. We live in a world where we can be betrayed and gossiped about and taken advantage of and hurt deeply. We live in a world, especially a post-COVID world, where some people are just mean. Some people in our world go out of their way to offend others. But there are very few things that are as toxic to your own emotional and spiritual life as unforgiveness. As I start to mention forgiveness, I imagine that some of you felt your shoulders tighten a little because there are someone whose face has flashed before your mind, someone who hurt you, betrayed you, abandoned you, abused you, lied about you, someone who took something from you that you can never get back. Maybe you've been carrying unforgiveness. Maybe for months, maybe for years, maybe for decades. And here's what I need you to hear this morning. The person that hurt you, they're not in the cell with you. Only you're there. See, choosing to forgive is like drinking poison and hoping another person dies. Yeah. Unforgiveness doesn't punish them, it imprisons you, it doesn't bring the other person pain, it tortures you. Unforgiveness blocks intimacy with God, with others. Sometimes it closes off your own heart. But here's the good news. And it is spectacularly, spectacularly good news. The door of your cell is already unlocked. Jesus unlocked it 2,000 years ago on the cross. And this morning, he's standing outside your prison. And he's saying the same thing the warden did. Why are you still there? The answer, of course, is that sometimes forgiveness feels impossible. Because what the other person did was too big. Because, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. because you're waiting for an apology first, because you're afraid that if you forgive, you're saying that what they did was okay. But that's not what forgiveness is. Let me show you what Jesus has to say about this. Listen to his words from Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. That's strong language. And then Jesus tells a story to drive the point home. In Matthew 18, the story that you heard read, Peter comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Should I forgive someone seven times? And Peter thought he was being generous. The religious law of the day said you only had to forgive three times. But Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. In other words, just keep forgiving. Don't keep count. Don't hold on to a ledger. And then Jesus tells this parable. You heard it read once. I'm going to read it to you again because I want it to sink into your heart. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But when the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, I'll pay it all. And the master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave him his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and he demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged him for a little more time. Be patient with me and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his debt, his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sisters from the heart. Did you catch that? Sent to prison to be tortured? What are the torturers that Jesus hands us over to when we refuse to forgive? Well, bitterness, anger, resentment, depression, anxiety, physical ailments, sometimes migraines, abdominal pain, high blood pressure, broken relationships, sleepless nights, the inability to trust one another, a hardened heart. When we don't forgive, we can become bitter. And in our bitterness and our anger directed toward inward at ourselves and outwards at others, these are the torturers. These are the prison guards. And sometimes we cry out to God, God, take away my anger. Take away my bitterness. God, change my heart. But God says, I can't. I've turned you over to that because I've asked you to forgive, and you won't. I'm happy to deliver you from those things if you forgive first. See, unforgiveness is serious business. I've known people who are sick because they will not forgive. Now, just because you're sick doesn't mean that you have forgiveness or have unforgiveness, but there are some people who are sick because they won't forgive. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Before I tell you what forgiveness is and how to forgive, let me tell you what it's not. Forgiveness does not mean what happened is okay. By the very definition, forgiveness means something was we were wronged. Indeed, what happened is not okay. Some of you have experienced horrible wrongs. The whole point of forgiveness is that what was done to you was wrong. What was done to you does matter. In fact, forgiveness is best done when you realize the full extent of the damage that offense caused you. When someone asks for forgiveness, the proper response is not, well, that's okay, because they truly need forgiveness. It's not okay. Proper response is, you're forgiven. Forgiveness does not automatically mean that the relationship is restored. Forgiveness may be the start of the process, but having a relationship restored is partially dependent on the other person. They have to deal with what they have to deal with. Even though you grant forgiveness, a relationship may or may not return to what it was. Forgiveness doesn't. The next thing is, forgiveness doesn't mean trust. Trust is earned over time by a person. You can forgive someone who abused you, but that does not mean you allow your kids to go to that person's place unsupervised. In some cases, trust can be rebuilt. In other cases, it cannot. When you grant a person forgiveness, it doesn't mean that that person automatically becomes safe. They do not. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you won't press charges, that you'll let them escape from the consequences. If you forgive someone who has committed a crime, that doesn't mean that they should escape legal consequences of what they've done. You can forgive someone and press charges at the same time. Forgiveness is a heart matter. Charges is a matter of the law. Those are two different things. Forgiveness does not depend on the other person. Sometimes here, well, I'll forgive them if they apologize to me. If you have been hurt, you've been offended, it is really, really nice to get an apology from the person who hurt you. But your forgiveness is not dependent on the other person. If it were, you would be held captive by what they do. And you are not. You can and should forgive a person whether or not they apologize to you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. We're human. We remember. Forgiveness means behaving in such a way where we will not hold what they have done against them in a vindictive way. It means that we're not going to rehearse the offense over and over again in our mind. We're not going to use it as a weapon. You may not forget what a person has done, but if you forgive in Jesus' name, Jesus can take the sting out of the memory of what they've done. So what is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is, first of all, a choice to release a debt. It's an act of the will. If you wait till you feel like forgiving, it's not going to happen. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice to clear your heart and release your debt. And here's the choice that you're choosing to make when you forgive. You are choosing to pay the emotional pain and consequences of what was done to you. I know that sounds terribly wrong. Why should I pay for something that was done to me? It makes no sense until you bring it back to the cross. And at the cross, it becomes clear. Jesus, on his way to the cross, could have been thinking anything like, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve to pay. But instead, he said, Father, there's another way. Take this cup from me. But there wasn't, and Jesus did pay. He paid the consequence of our sin, even though we deserved to pay. He paid the emotional pain and consequences that we deserved to set us free. That is why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We deserve to pay, but Jesus took it instead. We got freedom. When we forgive someone else, we're doing the same thing that Jesus did. We're saying, you know what you did. You deserve to pay, but I'm going to pay instead. I'm going to pay the emotional consequences that you deserve to have. I'm setting you free. And we set them free from our hook, not God's hook. They're still on the hook with God. They still remain accountable to God. But when you were sinned, you were offended, you were hurt. Sometimes it was a little hurt, sometimes it was devastating. But you were hurt, and when you were hurt, we want the other person to pay. But the reality is that it doesn't matter what the other person does or doesn't do. The emotional pain, the hurt, it's still going to be in your heart. It's still going to be there. The pain in your heart is your pain. If I run up to you and cut your arm with a knife, and you choose to forgive me for that, well, your arm is still wounded, right? And you got to pay for the pain. You may wish I would pay for the pain, but your arm is still wounded. It's the same with our heart. When somebody hurts us deeply, our heart is still wounded. The reality is that you are going to pay the price of that pain whether you choose to or not. But by accepting the pain as your own, in taking responsibility for the pain and owning the pain, you can do something with it. Until you own the pain, you can't do anything with it. When we demand justice for our emotional pain, it leads to imprisonment. Or you can pay the price of your emotional pain, and it'll lead to freedom. And it's hard. If you've been hurt deeply, it's hard. Forgiveness is taking that certificate of debt and saying, you owe me, and is giving that certificate to God. God, you know I'm hurt. Lord, I owe you so much. You've forgiven me so much. This is nothing in comparison. But as a token of thanks for what you've done for me, I give you what they owe me. You can collect if you want to or not if you want to. That's up to you. The debt that they incurred when they offended me is no longer a debt to me. It's a debt to you. They don't owe me anything. I forgive them. I release the debt to you. See how that has nothing to do with the other person? This is the transaction that takes place between you and God. Let me talk to you about the process of forgiveness. And I love this chart, Wendy. Oh, it's going to be hard for you to read. Sorry about that. I'll explain it to you. On the right-hand side, this is put together by Wendy Hummel, a friend of ours. And when somebody wounds you, when somebody hurts you, you know, there's healing wounds. And when somebody hurts you, you're hurt. On the blue side, you forgive, and then that goes towards, your heart is open, and you look at other people. Now, in an ideal world, your offender would choose to confess their sin. That's the green side. And repent, and ask for forgiveness, and you forgive, and your relationship would be reconciled, and your heart would be open to them, and you would learn to trust them again, and there's this reconciliation that takes place. Problem, of course, is that we don't live in an ideal world. Choosing to forgive people who hurt you does not mean that reconciliation will happen or that trust will be restored. But no matter what the other person does, you choose to forgive. And here's how you choose to forgive the offender. You can see, next slide, you can see the cycle that we're dealing with, the heart that was wounded. Forgiveness is more than just a flippant decision. So let me walk you through this cycle. First of all, forgiveness is a choice. You choose to forgive. We seldom feel like forgiving. And if you wait for your feelings, it's going to be a long time in that prison. You make a choice. I'm going to choose to forgive. I choose to forgive, and you name the person. You acknowledge your own wounding. Forgiveness is not denying what you felt. In fact, it's being very honest with how much we hurt and what we felt. So you name the person. I choose to forgive my friend for what they did, and you name what they did. Lied about you, abandoned you, spread lies about you. And that caused me to feel, and you name the feelings. You name betrayal or abandonment. Whatever your wounding is, you name it. And then you choose to pay the price. You tell God, I'm willing to pay the emotional pain and consequences that my friend caused me. And I know that seems terribly wrong. You're choosing to absorb the cost rather than taking revenge. And the reality is that you're paying the cost anyways. But choosing to own that your pain is your own, you release them from your hook and you give them to God. Then what you do is you bring the hurt to Jesus to reveal, ask Jesus to reveal us the emotional hurt and pain that we have. And he also invites us to give us that, Lord. I felt abandoned, or I felt betrayed. I felt sinned against in these ways. Lord, I give that to you. I give that pain to you. Lord, I put that in your hands. And then you take back the ground that you gave to the enemy. When we're not quick to forgive a piece of our heart, we give a piece of our heart to the enemy. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your anger, lest you give the devil a foothold. And when Satan gets a foothold and he just has the right to stand on our corner of our lives and accuse us and say, oh, you're no good, or confuse us and with all these kind of things. And so you say, Lord, I take back any ground that I've given to the enemy through my bitterness or through what I yielded, and I give that back to you. Then you receive God's gift. You ask the Holy Spirit, Would you come and fill me? Could you give me a word or an image or a song or a scripture to solidify what I've done to you, done here with you? Allowing Jesus to work on your own heart. If you've been holding on to forgiveness for any length of time, you see that bottom purple circle is the circle that we just walked through. But if you've held on to that hurt for any length of time, you see the purple arrow going up, because in that hurt, in that pain, oftentimes what we need Jesus to do a deeper work in our lives. When we're wounded, especially, but not necessarily when we're young, we tend to believe lies about ourselves. We tend to make excuses about ourselves. We tend to, Satan uses our trauma for a reason to insert lies and confusion. And so, you know, if you've had a parent who ignored you, the lie might be, I'm really not worth taking notice of. But that's not what the Bible says. Bible says about you that you are precious in God's eyes. And so you say, Lord, did I believe any lie? Did I believe any untruth when that offense took place? Did I put up a wall that held others out? Did I wall myself in? And whatever the Lord shows you, you confess that sin. And you know if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Say, Lord, I agree with you, that was wrong. And I repent of it. I choose to believe the truth. And so, Lord, what's the truth about me that you want to show me today? And so, Lord, I choose to believe you and what you said. Forgive me for believing the lie. And you choose to believe the truth. And then you say, Lord, would you come and restore me? Would you heal my heart? Here's what I found. If all you do is choose to forgive, whenever you see the person again, the anger swells up and the pain swells up and your heart swells up. But when you allow God to work and acknowledge your, acknowledge what actually happened, and when you name it, and when you give your hurt to Jesus and you take back the ground and you release the other person to God, and you choose to forgive them walking through that circle, then Jesus is the great physician. And he has a way of healing your heart and taking the sting from it. Here's an amazing truth. There's nothing that can happen to you that you can't forgive. Nothing can happen to you that needs to hold you in a prison. If you embrace forgiveness, the emotional pain and consequences that you don't deserve, when you see the other's personal offense against you and you give them to God and you choose to forgive them, it has a way of ridding you of the pain. If you resist forgiveness, you remain captive and you get more pain, more tortures. If you embrace it, you get rid of it. If you resist it, you get more. So, let me ask you, is there anyone in your life who you've yet to choose to forgive? Are you willing to forgive them? The cell door is unlocked. Jesus unlocked it when he said, Father, forgive them. He absorbed the pain that we deserved. And he set us free. In a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of forgiveness. And I'm going to give you the space to name a person and what they did and name how it made you feel. And this is between God and you. No one else needs to know it. So you're going to pray silently. But be honest before God. God will never ask you to do something that he's not willing you to give you the grace to accomplish. Millions of Christians around the world have received the grace to forgive. And that same grace is open to you. I saw a video of a Christian Egyptian family being interviewed on their state television. The father and brother had been killed by Muslim extremists. The family looked at the camera and said, "We forgive you. Our faith teaches us to forgive, and we, from our hearts, we forgive you." The newscaster went on this rant of amazement. These Christians are amazing. They're made of steel. I couldn't do that, but they are forgiving. God has given millions and millions of his people grace to forgive. He'll give you the grace if you let him. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Let's pray together. So, Lord Jesus, is there anyone I need to choose to forgive? The Lord has brought a name to your mind or a number of names, and I invite you to walk with me through this prayer. Say, I choose to forgive, and name that person in your mind. before and name what they did to you. And it caused me to feel what? What was the wound in your heart? And pray I'm willing to pay the emotional pain and consequences that this person caused me. Lord, I choose to forgive them. And I give my hurt to you. Lord Jesus, I ask you to take back any ground that I've given to the enemy through my bitterness, and I yield that ground to your control. Lord, what would you like to fill me with? What gifts, good gifts, would you like to give me? Lord Jesus, I ask you to do whatever you want to do in my heart. Heal me, forgive me, fill me, set me free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.